lovely to be with you this morning. I'd like to say very honestly, you folks are very gracious Christians, very loving Christians. Every time I come up here, we appreciate your love and your warmth of Christian companionship. Well, you should be a Christian. Isaac Newton was one of the great human intellects of our ages. He was a man who discovered calculus. He made great discoveries in astronomy. And one time a friend of his said to him, "Why is it that your discoveries in astronomy has gone far beyond the discoveries of others?" And Isaac Newton's answer was, "Because I think about it all the time." As an example of his thinking, he lived in Cambridge, England, and one day he went to Trinity College there, and he told them that day there had been a major battle. It was the time of the Anglo-Dutch Wars, and he told them that there had been a major naval battle, and that the English had lost the battle. Well, Cambridge is some distance from the sea, and there's no time in that day for the message to have gotten to them, and they sort of looked at him, his colleagues looked at him, and asked him how he knew this. He says, "Well, I heard very, very distant cannon fire. I heard a great deal of it, but I knew it was a major battle, and I could hear the cannon fire getting slightly louder with time, so I knew we were losing." You know, I think in this busy day in which we live, we often don't take time to think. The Bible uses the word consider, to think or to ponder. We have the word amusement, and I'm sure you know the meaning of that word, amuse, without thought. We have a lot of things in the world today to amuse us, keep us from thinking. TV is perhaps at the top of the list. But it's good to take time to consider, to think. I'd like to consider seven times the word consider is used in the scripture. I'd like to consider the word consider and see what we can learn from it. Would you turn to Luke chapter 12, please? Luke 12 and verse 27. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Consider the lilies. Take time to think about the lilies. Susan, would you mind putting that up if you would? Thank you. We need some technical help here. Thank you. "Consider the lilies," the Lord says, "and be at peace." You know, we tend to worry about all sorts of things. So often we worry about the biggest thing on the horizon. Once that's taken care of, then we go down to the next thing and start worrying about that. I read about a man who went to, who dropped in on a butcher. This butcher had a big Saint Bernard in his home. And since he was a butcher, he used to bring home bones for his dog to gnaw on. And one day, this visitor dropped in, and he saw this big St. Bernard there, and he was a little nervous about this big dog in the room. And the host, seeing that he was nervous, says, "Don't worry, he's safe, he won't hurt you." The man nervously said, "Well, then why are all those bones out in the backyard?" We worry about things we don't need to worry about. The Lord says, "Consider the lilies, and don't worry, they can't worry. And yet they're clothed in such beautiful glory. Solomon didn't equal that glory. Be at peace." Look at verse 25, the same chapter. "And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? consider the lilies. The Lord says, we don't go around worrying about, can I be a foot taller tomorrow? It's impossible. Well, then why worry about anything? The Lord's got that in control. He's got everything in control. Be at peace. Verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's interesting that the Lord connects seeking higher things with the need of not worrying. And why? Because if I am so worried about every little thing that comes along, I'm not going to be serving Him. I'm not going to be looking ahead to the things that are important. I'm not going to be living my life for Him. The thorns of the cares of this world will choke out the good seed that's wanting to grow in my heart. The Lord tells us, cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Consider the lilies and be at peace. Turn to Proverbs 6 and verse 6, if you would, for another consider. Proverbs chapter 6. Take time to think. Consider. Verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, and when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come upon thee as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Consider the ways of the ant. Be productive, the Lord says. Be at peace, yes, consider the lilies. But consider the ways of the ant. Be productive. And what are the ways of the ant? Well, look at verse 7. Which having no guide or overseer or ruler, works. And this is, as Christian employees, this is the way we should be. It should make no difference, of course, if the boss is around or isn't around. The ant doesn't have a boss saying, okay, get to it. And this is the way he works or she works. The Lord says to us, be this way. Be productive. Even if there isn't a ruler, be productive. Next verse, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her fruit in the harvest. Plan ahead. Be productive. This is true on two levels. It's true on the temporal level. The Lord says in 1 Timothy, we don't provide for our families. We're worse than an infidel. So we are to provide temporally. We are to look ahead and make plans and seek to do what we can to provide for our family's needs. But much more importantly, much higher, look ahead on a spiritual level. We read in Matthew 6, 18, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So consider the ant's ways. A busy, busy little creature, working hard, providing for the future. Fellow Christians, be productive. Temporally, yes, but far more importantly, for the future, for the things that count. Haggai chapter 1, if you would. Now, Haggai is one of those small books, and you can find Malachi, that's the last book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And before that is Zechariah, and before that is Haggai. So it's the third last book in the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So we're to consider the ant's ways, but more than that, we're supposed to consider our own ways. Consider your ways. Now, we were just talking about the ant, how the ant plans ahead in the summertime to be ready for wintertime. And we should do the same. Say I've got a job and I'm paid for my job. and my employer pays me his shekels out of his stores, and he says, okay, Dave, here, you've been working good, here's your money, and money's beginning to stack up. Get my my check, and I my money's coming, so I live on some of it, but I'm putting some of it away and getting a nice little nest egg here, and things are looking good for me because there's a lot, well, there's so much here, I just can't stack it here. I tell you what I think I should do? I should put it in a bag and keep it safely. Well, okay, let me see if I can find a bag. I'll keep my money good and safe here. You know, I got a problem here. There's a hole in the bottom of that bag. All my hard work, I'm being productive, but there's a hole in the bag. Look at what we read here. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people saith, the time is not come, the time that the house of the Lord should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house, the Lord's house, lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, you've worked hard, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, stop and think. Ponder. Something's wrong here. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Here were these people working hard, but not getting anywhere. One step forward and two steps back. What is the Lord saying? Put me first. Yes, provide temporarily, but there's more important things than that. Work hard for the Lord. Plan for the eternal future. Consider our ways. Yes, consider the ant's ways, but go far beyond that. Here was the Lord's house laying waste, and they were living in beautiful homes. The Lord says, consider your ways. Don't put your money in a bag with holes in it. Put me first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord will make things click. Oh, he doesn't promise us to be millionaires. Thank the Lord he doesn't. We have far better things to look for. Sometimes he chooses to, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine. But he will provide for our needs. Put him first, leave everything else up to him. You know, I was reading about Donald Trump this year. He's a very wealthy man in New York, owns a fair amount of New York. He's has multiple skyscrapers that he's built and owns in New York City. He has three casinos in Atlantic City. His income from those three casinos alone, just in Atlantic City, nothing about his New York City property, which is far more, but his New York City property, his Atlantic City, just three casinos that he owns there, brings him in $15 million a week.
For whom did the Lord reserve the words, thou fool? It was the man who was busily putting money into bags with holes in it. I don't know if Donald Trump is a Christian. I certainly have no reason to think that he is. I never read or heard anything about him that would make me think he is. If he is not, he is being very foolish. But because he is planning ahead, working very hard, being productive, but he's not considering his ways. He's considering the ant's ways, but not his ways. He's not planning for eternity. I don't know if there should be anyone here who has not trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. But above all, look forward to the future. You know, a lifespan here on earth is for a period of time. The Lord gives us happy days. Sometimes there's problematic days the Lord allows. But eventually our time here on earth will end. Plan ahead. Consider your ways. The Lord Jesus Christ came here on earth to die for us, to be the sacrifice for our sin, so that we would not have to pay the penalty of our sins. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the biggest planning ahead that you can ever do. Accept Him as Savior. Accept His free gift of what He has done for you. And your future in Him is secure because there is the name and the blood of Jesus Christ standing there to say that nothing will ever be held against you. Satan the accuser will stand and he says, but look at this, look at what this person did. He's never going to get into your heaven. Stand before God and accuse us. But the Lord says, my blood, look at my blood. And Satan can't say another word because we are under the blood of Christ. He has paid for our sins. Thank the Lord for His goodness. You know, I enjoyed that worship service so much this morning, just taking time to appreciate the Lord, to think what He has done for us. What a pleasure to take such time. The Lord is so, so good to us. So the Lord here says, consider your ways. We are reading in Proverbs where we read that, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? We read in Ephesians 5, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Fellow Christian, plan ahead. Consider our ways. Look ahead. Let's not be Christians, Rip Van Winkles. Suddenly wake up after years and years of working hard, being productive, but not for eternity. Use our time for the Lord. What the Lord has gives us to do, let us do it with all our might. Now, I think a good question to ask ourselves, I've heard my brother Paul say this. He was only in his teens at the time where I clearly remember him saying more than once at the end of the day, what have I done today that's going to last for eternity? It's a good question to ask ourselves at the end of the day. What have I done today that's going to last into eternity? Okay, another consider, Hebrews 10:24, please. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke or to stimulate unto love and to good works. Yes, we're to consider our ways, but we're to go beyond that. We're to consider one another. How can we stimulate one another to love? Incidentally, make sure that we finish the verse and not just read, and let us consider one another to provoke. Sometimes it seems perhaps we read it that way. It's like the hymn that says, take my life and let it be, and that's about where we quit on it. You know, take my life and let it be. Don't go too far on my life. No, let it be consecrated unto thee. Finish it out. Provoke unto love, to stimulate unto love. The people who make Rolaids recently made a 15-second commercial. It took the involvement of some 75 people to make this commercial, and they worked, various ones of them, over a period of 6 months. It took 6 months to make this commercial for 15 seconds, and it cost $500,000 to make a 15-second commercial to try to stimulate you and me to buy Rolaids. People pay as much as $400,000 for 30 seconds of airtime to try and stimulate us to buy their products. Let's consider, ponder, think, how can I stimulate my brother, my sister to love? How can I encourage him in love? How can I encourage her in love? Well, there are several ways, and maybe quickly we can look at them. The very one is sitting right here. In fact, it's part of the same sentence. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love, to stimulate unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So what is that saying? Just by coming to meeting, I'm stimulating to love. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, or in the New American Standard says, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaches. You know that your being here this morning is an encouragement to me. If I was up here talking and there was Ruthie and Gracie in the audience, you know, I'd feel a little discouraged. Your being here this morning is an encouragement. It's an encouragement to other Christians. Talking between meetings. You are an encouragement to me. We are an encouragement to others just by being at the meeting. And when I stay home on a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening and I'm not at meeting, I am not obeying this verse of trying to stimulate to love. I have to be there to stimulate to love. It's awful hard to stimulate someone to love if you never have contact with them. So the Lord says, get together to stimulate to love. Several other verses come to mind, and I will quote these to you, Galatians 5:22. You know that verse very well. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So how can I stimulate another Christian to love? Be Spirit-filled. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life. And when the Holy Spirit convicts my heart of something that is wrong, or tells me to do something that is right, and I quench him, then it's going to be harder to stimulate my brothers and sisters to love. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy, be thou an example in love. How can I stimulate another Christian to love? Be loving myself. That'll stimulate. There's nothing like feeling the love from another person to bring out what attracted us to Christ. The love of Christ constrains us. We are attracted by his love. As we love other Christians, as our love pours out, we will stimulate them to love, to greater love. You know, it's interesting. Many of us use NutraSweet in our coffee and tea, the artificial sweetener. Did you know that NutraSweet has just as many calories as sugar? It does, but it's 200 times sweeter. And that's, of course, why we use it. So you don't need as much of it. Brothers and sisters, that's by the Lord Jesus' power, by his power and by his grace and by his love, become like him, that we will stimulate others to love, to show the sweetness of Jesus Christ in our lives. Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Have true love. There's nothing like to stimulate love in another person than really feeling true love from another person. Real love. Not just a superficial, I love you and that's it, but showing love. You know, in York, we came home one day and we went out in our basement, and with sinking hearts, we realized that there was about an inch of water in our basement. the washer had malfunctioned and poured water into the basement, and the drain pipe was blocked apparently. And here we got all this water, and we had one room carpeted, and we sort of felt sick. It was about 11:30 at night. Friends of ours there who have a carpet business, and they tend to run a little bit late, so we felt free to call them at 11:30 at night and just ask if we could. We knew they rented vacuums that pick up water, and we asked them if we could rent one. And you know what? In about 10 minutes, they showed up at our door, and they started busy cleaning the carpets, taking up the carpets, doing things that we wouldn't have a clue how to do. True love. Love without hypocrisy. Showing our love one to another. Stimulated us to love them more. They're very dear Christians. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all things be done in love. Again, love stimulates love. Consider how to stimulate each other in love. And an interesting verse in Hebrews 12, let brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain. Isn't that interesting? By entertaining others, we stimulate to love. Something that in this day and age we tend to forget, thankfully not among Christians so much, certainly in the world at large. Stimulate to love, entertain. Okay, Psalm 8, a fifth, consider. Consider one another, we've just had. Now let's go to Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Consider God's heavens, consider his works, and appreciate his greatness. You know, it's good for us to pause and consider the greatness of God's works. If we don't, we can get just a little bit too big for our britches. You know, this is what happened to Job. In spite of the wonderful man that Job was, you know, he got a little bit too verbal about how he had tried to follow God. And finally, God had to talk to him. And it's interesting, when God talked to Job, who was a little bit too big for his own eyes, how did the Lord talk to him? Not in a still, small voice as he did to Moses. He talked to him out of a whirlwind. And this is what he said to Job. He said, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And God goes on and hits it again and again and again and again of the things that he's made. And finally, Job, when he answers, says, behold, I vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Consider God's heavens. Consider his works. The wisest man, other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes others fade into nothing, but Solomon wrote, consider the work of God. His father, David, wrote, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee, when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in thy book all my members were written. Before there is ever embryology, before we knew anything about genes, in thy book all my members were written down. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord can have the mind of an Einstein tied up in a one single tiny cell in the genes that you can't even see with a human eye. Consider his works. Isn't he marvelous? Isn't he impressive? Which in continuance were fashioned. Again, before modern embryology. Right here. Continual development. When as yet there was none of them. Consider God's works. When you see a beautiful sunset, take time to look at it and appreciate it. My Savior made that. By him. All things were made by him. John 1. By him all things consist. The very fact that it's still there today is by the power of my Savior. Consider his heavens. Consider his works. How great he is. Appreciate God's greatness. appreciate the great things he has done. But then go on, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. And we have the sixth consider. First Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. Yes, consider the great things he has made, but make it personal. Consider the great things he's done for me. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, I find I have to remind myself of that so much. I get my nose to the grindstone, I get my worries going, and I have to stop and consider. Consider these things we've been talking about. Consider the greatness of God, but consider what has God done for me? How good he has been to me. Consider what great things God has done for you. Psalm 126:3, we read, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Fellow Christian, consider what God has done for us. Appreciate his goodness. 1 Samuel 12:24 is where we read there. There's a lot of things we can be thankful for. At Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving in York, one of the Christian families, they had a get-together, several families together who are related. And after the meal, they were all sort of sitting there contentedly, and they said, well, let's each one name something we're thankful to God for. And various people mentioned various things we were thankful to God for. And one little fellow, he said, well, I'm thankful that I got to the pie before Uncle Phil did. There's always something to be thankful for. Count our blessings. Name them one by one. Appreciate his goodness. Consider what great things he's done for us. And then the final consider, Hebrews 12:2, if you would. Stop and think. Ponder. Take time out. Evaluate. Hebrews 12, and we'll read verse 3. For consider him. That's the greatest consider of them all. The greatest way to ponder. Consider him. Consider Christ. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Why should we consider him? Well, verse 2, it's obvious. Looking unto Jesus, or as can also be translated, fixing our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the central theme. He is the center of our faith. What better way to spend time considering, thinking, pondering, than to appreciate Jesus Christ himself. When our little Gracie, who's 8 years old now, was a little baby, she was about 2 or 3 weeks old. It was a tiny, tiny little thing, and Richie and I and a friend of ours went out to a park near York, and we went on a dirt road in our van, and Gracie was in her seat, strapped-in seat, and she was a tiny little thing. We hit this dirt road, and the whole van started to vibrate, and quite a racket in that van. It was an unfinished van on the inside, and all the metal was rattling. Rizzy, her mom, was sitting right next to her, and Gracie was sitting there belted in with her eyes on her mommy the whole time. Never cried, not a tear in her eye, but she had her eyes on her mommy the whole time. So finally, all the noise settled down, and we got to where we were going. She was happy because her eyes were on her mom. Fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, absorbed with him, appreciating him. I read about a mathematics professor one time on a college campus who was walking across the campus, and a student stopped him and asked him a mathematical question. He answered it. And then he got through and he said, the professor said to the student, which way was I going when you stopped me? He says, well, you're going that way. He says, oh, thank you, then I've had lunch. I was talking about Isaac Newton and interesting experience that a friend of his had. Newton invited a friend of his to have lunch with him one day, and or I guess it was the evening meal, and he showed up there, and it was obvious that Newton had forgotten all about it. There was one place set at the table, and that was it. Well, Newton was so absorbed in his thoughts that he sort of barely recognized that his friend had come in. So his friend sat down quietly. Well, after a while, one plate of food was brought up, placed on the table. Well, Isaac Newton was still tied up with his thoughts, so his friend sat down and he ate the meal. After a while, Newton sort of came out of his thinking, and he looked at the plate and he says, if I didn't know better, I'd say I hadn't had supper yet. He looked at the empty plate and thought he had eaten. That's what you call being absorbed in your thoughts. Fellow Christian, what better way to spend our time being absorbed in thinking and appreciating the Lord Jesus Christ? Be absorbed with Him. Look to Christ. Looking to Christ will meet my needs. Looking for Christ will thrill my heart. Looking at Christ will change my life. Look to Christ. He is the one of whom the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is the one of whom His disciples said, what manner of man is this, but even the winds and the waves obey Him. He is the one of whom those who went to arrest Him said, never a man spake like this man. He was the one of whom the spineless governor had to admit to the enemies of Christ, I find no fault in Him. He is the one who, after walking with Him for 3 years, His disciple, after betraying Him, said of Him, I have betrayed innocent blood. He is the one of whom doubting Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And He is the one, fellow Christian, who with the entire church of God says, He is altogether lovely. What a pleasure to be absorbed in thought, considering Him. Let's just sing together. I'm sure you don't need the words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If you want to close your eyes and just sing it to the Lord, that's fine, whatever. Let's just sing this one for Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege and the pleasure of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Father, we love Him. We appreciate Him. We thank You that we know Him as our Lord and as our God. Father, help us to take time to consider, to think, to ponder, above all, to appreciate Him who means everything to us. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus. We pray in His very, very precious name.